Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio. My name is Onyx.
And this is Billy.
And tonight we have a special episode. It's going to be completely about Sasquatch. You know, we want to hear your reports. We want to talk about it. We want to try to figure out what's going on. I apologize for last week not being on the air. It was my daughter's 4-year birthday, and I kind of had to do, you know, the whole birthday thing. Tonight I have a thunderstorm looming, really bad thunderstorm coming, so I'm hoping that everything works out and we're able to stay on the air. You guys, if you're listening, then the number should be posted right above on the website. If not, then the number is 323-580-5703. That's 323-580-5703. You'll be prompted to speak to the host. Press 1. Go ahead and do that. It'll put you in the queue, and then we'll be with you shortly. Tonight I have my co-host, Billy Mills. Billy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a Bigfoot researcher out of New York State, upstate New York. I've been doing this ever since 2006. Been doing it seriously for probably the last 4 years. I have a Facebook page called the Renegade Bigfoot Society, and we're just happy to be here. We're just happy to be a part of, you know, Onyx Knights Paranormal Radio.
So, and right on. So, Billy, what have you? What have you been up to here recently?
Well, give you a little bit of a past here. Back in 2006 is pretty much when it all started. Well, for me, anyway. I was living up on top of a mountain in Accord, New York, down in Ulster County. It's about 4 hours down from where I am now. And just certain things would be happening that I couldn't really explain. I'd been at that time kind of dabbling in the Bigfoot world, looking online, checking things out, listening to audio and watching videos and stuff. But I really wasn't, you know, too far into it. But every night I'd be hanging out on my front porch, and I'd be hearing these sounds, you know, and hearing movement in the woods and stuff. And next thing you know, I'm looking online and, like, on YouTube, watching a few videos and stuff, and, you know, lo and behold, a few things started clicking in that was going on around my house. So I started investigating a little bit more, and that got me more curious about, you know, getting into being a researcher. Basically, every researcher has, you know, like a mentor or somebody that actually got them into it. And mine was a man named Richard Knoll. I had seen him on a few documentaries on TV, and he just impressed the heck out of me. His passion for Bigfooting and his knowledge just made me even more want to become a Bigfoot researcher. I started seeing strange tree structures, limb structures, rock formations where I hadn't seen them before. At 2:30 in the morning on any given night during the weekend, because I worked overnights during the week, we'd have something slapping against the house.
Wow.
And the bedroom was about, I'd say, about 10 or 11 feet off the ground. Okay, so in order for a human to slap 11 feet off the ground, slap at a house, and at that, you know, that force, you'd have to be...
That's the thing, you know, listeners and you know, skeptics, they have to understand the complete context of what's going on. I mean, it would be really, I mean, I'm not saying it's outside the possibilities, but it would be really stupid for a person to be outside your house at 3 o'clock banging on your house.
Exactly, especially when your nearest neighbor lives about 3/4 of a mile down the mountain.
Right, and see, that was going to be my next question.
Pretty steep roads.
That was going to be my next question, to kind of give a little description of your layout, your landscape.
It's all woods, on top of a mountain. I'm sorry?
But you're not in, like, a neighborhood or anything like that?
No, sir.
It's pretty rural. Okay.
No, sir. It's about as rural as it gets, as I said, you know, right smack dab on top of the mountain. Your nearest neighbor, like I said, is about 3/4 of a mile down the mountain, and it's, some of it is straight away, some of it's, you know, winding turns and stuff, but it's pretty steep going down the mountain.
They
have to be right, exactly, for somebody to do something like that. They'd have to have at least a 4-foot step ladder, you know, and probably a broom or, you know, something like a shovel to bang on the house with a force like that,
and a pair that's dragging behind them.
Exactly. I would hear vocalizations. To give you a little story, and I've told this before, my wife at the time, this is during the time when I was working at a warehouse in Kingston, New York, and from Kingston to Accord is approximately an hour, okay? And I had to be to work by 7 o'clock at night. And every single night, my first break, it would be about 11 o'clock at night, and I would call home, you know, to see how everything's going. And, well, this particular night, it's about 2 minutes to 11, and I'm about ready to go to the break room, and I'm getting out my phone to call. Next thing you know, I'm the one getting a phone call, okay? And it's my wife on the other end, and one of the first things she says to me, she said, don't get excited. I'm like, okay, why? She goes, well, something happened tonight. And I'm like, something happened? What do you mean? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe something went wrong, somebody got hurt. You know, maybe a bear got by the house or something like that.
Right.
She goes, well, you know all that Bigfoot stuff you've been looking up online and all the videos and all the audios you've been listening to and watching. I was like, yeah. She goes, well, something happened tonight. And I'm like, what? She goes, well, I'm not going to tell you right now. Okay. And that's the worst thing to tell somebody who's, like, this far into Bigfoot, you know.
Yeah, right.
Really it's psyched
like,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, well, why'd you call me then?
Yeah, exactly. But, well, she had a reason for it, you know, because she said, well, I'm not going to tell you because if I tell you, you're going to want to come home right now. She goes, and I don't want to see you get fired, you know, for leaving work
right,
early.
Right, right.
So I said, well, can you give me a brief description? She goes, I'll wait until you get home. Well, that's the wrong thing to do. That's like putting a kid in a candy store.
Well, of course.
Locking
that
the door,
makes
but telling them not to. But telling them not to touch anything, you know?
Right, right, right.
Well, all night long, for the rest of the night, I got out probably about 7:30 the next morning. And the whole time, I can hardly even work, you know, because it's all just on my mind, you know, what happened, you know. All different types
naturally.
Of scenarios are going through my head, you know. Well, when I got home, I just flew up the road. I mean, I'm going all the way home. I did probably 85 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. I'm surprised I didn't get stopped. Okay.
Right, right.
And I pull in the driveway. I don't even remember shutting the truck off or shutting the door to the truck. Run into the house, and usually my wife would be out there with our dog, Xena. Now, anybody who knows anything about Australian Shepherds and dingoes, well, that's what
yeah.
she is. She's half Australian Shepherd, half dingo. Dingo's a wolf, Australian
right.
wolf. And this dog is not afraid of anything, nothing. I've seen her chase bears, chase people, you know, nothing, not afraid of anything. Well, this particular morning, Debbie came to the door, but no Xena. And I'm like, I'm looking around, I'm like, Deb, where's Xena? And she's like, she hasn't come out of the bedroom all night. I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, she just won't come out of the bedroom. She's just in the corner shaking. And she's been like that ever since. So I had her tell me what happened. And she says, well, she said, you know how I usually let the dogs out around 9:30 at night? I said, yeah. And she said, then I bring them in and I'll come back out and have a cigarette, you know, read my book and a cup of coffee. And just listen,
right.
you know, be outside. I was like, yeah. She goes, well, I let the dogs out, she said, and they didn't really seem to, you know, to be acting weird or anything, so I didn't think anything of it. She
so
goes,
that's who let the dogs
let the...
out.
Exactly.
go ahead.
But,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. She goes, so I let him back in, and I come back out with my cigarette, cup of coffee, and the book, and she goes, I'm reading, and she goes, I was probably out there a good 7-8 minutes, and she says, while I'm reading my book, for some reason, I just happened to notice something was a little off, and I said, well, what's that? And she goes, I just stopped reading because I couldn't hear a thing. I was like, what are you talking about? Would you go deaf for a minute? She goes, no. She goes, it was just dead silence.
Right.
And I was like, okay. I said, what do you mean by silence? She goes, not even the katydids or the crickets were chirping.
And you and I have discussed
you...
that before.
Exactly.
How that happens whenever there's something squashy going on.
Exactly. And she said about 10 seconds after that, across the road, across our dirt road, was a wood line, and in the back of our house, probably a quarter of an acre back was another wood line, and on both sides, both ends of the house, you would call it probably the sides of the house, you go about 50 feet on the right or on the left, and you'd be hitting a wood line, and you go probably 100 feet, you know, to the other side, and you're hitting wood line again. So we're surrounded by woods.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is here.
But she goes, all of a sudden, and I didn't hear any coyotes, she goes, but I heard this, what sounded like a low moaning howl. And she goes, at first I thought maybe it was a coyote, she said, but the sound of it just kind of shot right through me. She goes, but I knew it was far off. And across the road, like I said, past the wood line, you go about 500 to 600 feet back, and that's when the steep decline starts. And you go down probably, I'm going to say, about a good 150 feet, maybe 200 feet, and it leads into to a stream, a brook. And up on top, across the brook, is another mountain. There's nothing, nobody lives on that other mountain. It's just mountain. And she says, right down by the creek, because on a clear night, you could hear the water rushing down and stuff.
Yeah.
And she said, but down by the creek, I hear this, she didn't do it, but if I play you the sound, I played her the Sierra sounds. And I said, if I play you the sound, do you think you can describe it?
The howl, right?
I think so. Right.
If you look it up, it'll give you either the howl or the samurai chatter.
Exactly.
I think both are from Sierra, but I know what you're talking about. I posted it not too long ago. In fact, when you just did the sound, I mean that was spot on, man.
Right. But yeah, I played her the sounds. You know, I played her every one of the sounds because at that time I didn't know it was a lone moaning howl. So it comes to the low moaning howl. I believe it was the Illinois howl from back in 1992 or 95, something like that.
Right.
And she goes, that's the one. That's the one right there where the dog is barking, you hear the low moaning howl. Well, that's the one she heard.
The Mississippi howl has a dog barking in it also.
Right.
They both sound similar.
Right. Well, actually, if you listen to the Sierra sounds, the Ohio howl and the Illinois howl sound almost identical.
Right, right.
But, so anyway, you know, I mean, that kind of freaked me out. So I'd been talking online, and I'd been hearing about people, these researchers that had been putting food out, you know, and I really didn't know, you know, what to put out. And like I said, at the time, this is probably 2006, 2007, not
right.
Really very many people were talking about what kind of food you put out. They were just saying you put out food. Well, I'm thinking, okay, well, Bigfoot is obviously a wild animal. Wild animals love meat, and chances are they love raw meat. So at the time, we had a freezer full of food. Some of it was, it was on the borderline of being, you know, spoiled, you know, but an animal, that would still be good food. But anyway, I took out a package of chicken quarters and took it out of the package, put it in a plastic Ziploc bag.
I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's a good subject, because I've always wondered. I've never done the meat thing, but I've always wondered if a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch, if they would go for processed meat. You understand what I'm saying? As opposed to
I think I can solve
wild.
That for you.
Yeah.
I think I might be able to solve that for you, because pretty much any animal will go for processed food, whatever food it is. I mean, as long as it's got a smell, chances are they'll go for it.
Right.
You know, and I would assume that you know, one of these creatures is no different. You know, I've heard that they're omnivores, that they eat meat, they eat, you know, berries, they eat
vegetation. Right,
but
I'd like to think that they're a little bit smarter and more particular than most normal wildlife out there.
Oh, exactly.
But then again, anything, if it gets hungry enough, it's gonna eat regardless, you know.
Exactly. You know, not that it would really, because around there, I mean, the game was just plentiful. I mean, we have had ducks, we had turkey, wild turkey, deer galore. I mean, any given morning you could wake up, look out of my bedroom window, and see like 7 or 8 deer, you know, in the back.
Right,
we
right.
have like kind of like crab apple trees or whatever, but they eat the leaves off of them and off the bushes and stuff. But anyway, I think I can actually, you know, like you said, do you think a Bigfoot would possibly eat processed meat? Well, along with the chicken quarters I took out, there was, you know, you get these big packages, like of 50 hot dogs in a package.
Yeah, you know, the family pack.
We had bought them, so I had taken them out because we were about to throw them out too. And also, have you ever saw the boxes of the hamburger patties that have the little slips of paper in the middle separating each patty?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I took a package of them, too, because none of this stuff was opened, okay? And I didn't open it because I wanted to see what was going to happen. You know, I had heard stories that these creatures will actually go through somebody's backpack and take things out until they find what they're looking for, and they'll actually put the stuff back in the backpack. It may not always be the exact same way it was packed, but it's
very
all
funny.
Back in the backpack.
It's very funny that you mention that because one winter a few years back, we were going hunting, me and a buddy of mine, and it was probably about 3 a.m. and we were going down this old gravel road, and we saw red eyes glowing, mm-hmm. squatted down on all fours, glowing next to a garbage can. And both of us was like, what the heck was that? Because, you know, it just didn't look like a dog. And I've never known any dog's eyes to glow red. So, you know, we got to talking about it and discussing it. And you know, I was like, well, if it was a Bigfoot, then chances are it was digging through the garbage. And he was like, well, how come, you know, the people don't wake up and see garbage everywhere? And I'm like, basically telling him a similar anecdote to what you just said about they know how to cover their tracks, so to speak. They're not gonna leave a big mess. They don't want to reveal their presence.
Exactly. Well, I mean that also corresponds too with what I said before. I mean, when I called them creatures. Okay, I don't really consider them an animal, but I don't consider them human either. Do I consider them a hybrid? Not really. In a way, I consider them to be a species all their own. You know, a species that never evolved. Let's put it that way. A species that, through the centuries, somehow, some way, made it through the Ice Age and adapted and moved on. You know, like in Russia. They had found, I believe it was the skeleton of something called Gigantopithecus.
Right.
And what scientists believe may have happened, Bigfoot scientists believe that may have happened, is that during the Ice Age, before Russia separated from Alaska, okay, because at one time the two parts were connected, that
yeah.
possibly these creatures came from Russia, traveled down through Alaska and into the United States, and just went from there. And that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. I have to agree. My personal belief is I believe that they were here long before we were.
Exactly.
And it's funny you mention that because Cliff Barachman, who is on the show Finding Bigfoot, he and I wouldn't say we got into an argument, but kind of a small debate where he kept calling it animal, and I said, you know, why do you call it an animal? It's not an animal. You know, if anything, it's a being. Yeah.
Animals don't have human characteristics.
And you know, he respected me for that, and was like, oh, you're right. I see your point. And it's so interesting. Excuse me, interesting what you said about them coming over. I believe that is possible, and I believe just like humans, there are different subcultures, if you will, or clans of Sasquatch,
exactly.
where depending on their environment and their territory, say like in the Northwest they look one way, whereas in the Everglades they'll look a totally different way.
Exactly.
You know,
it could be the climate that they live in, you know, could determine their skin, the color of their hair, possibly even their height and weight.
Well, I mean, you and I'm sure you can attest to this also. I've been in the woods and I've walked and hiked some very hilly mountainous terrain, and it wears you out quick. So my train of thought is, a Sasquatch in the Northwest, you know, in very mountainous regions, are going to be a little bit heavier, a little bit stockier than something down in the Everglades.
It lives on flat land.
Yeah, or down in the Everglades where it has to be more slim to maneuver through that terrain.
Right, mostly through the bog, through the swamps, and
exactly.
You know,
to me,
that's ever walked.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
To me, it all makes sense. It makes sense why you would have a different description in say Washington State or British Columbia than you would down in Florida in the Everglades.
Right.
I think it all has
to
do with terrain, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head, you know, especially since you're talking about the skunk apes down in the Everglades. I mean, yeah, they're not as big. I've heard of them being, you know, right around 7 foot tall. But they're a lot more slender, a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, you know, like a bodybuilder, but somebody who's got a nice body on them, but they're not
more,
big,
more,
they're not huge.
Right, more streamlined.
The more cut.
Yes.
Right. More fit, let's put it that way. I believe these
creatures
are a lot more fit because anybody who's ever walked through a bog or walked through a swamp.
Exactly.
Okay, you've got muck, you've got mud that's going to weigh you down, and for these creatures to be able to maneuver around and do it stealthily,
well, that's right,
just phenomenal.
They're not. I mean, case in point, if I were to take you and put you in the wilderness, say in Washington State or Oregon, and I was to take me and put me in the wilderness, no contact with TVs, no fast food, mm-hmm. no processed food, you know, none of this, just
right.
out in the woods. We will eventually look completely different than what we do now, sitting at home in a house, eating microwave TV dinners and you know, vegging out in front of a TV.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, well, you know, I look at it like this, too, that these creatures, I mean, whenever we're out in the woods and if these creatures are around, we are their entertainment. You know, like you said, they don't have a TV. They don't have, you know, a radio to listen to. You know, for their entertainment for the night, we are their entertainment. That's why they'll stay hidden, but at the same time, they're not running, okay?
Yeah,
they're going to stay far enough away from
right.
us to where they can see us, but we can't see them.
They watch and occasionally mess with people, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
I know all
and
about that.
and people who doubt that or laugh at that or you know, someone who a skeptic who doesn't believe that, all you have to do is look at the great apes. You know, you
right.
go to a zoo, the great apes will mess with you, you know, throw things at you.
Oh, sure.
make faces at you.
Sure.
I mean, it's very easy.
You know, I mean, when you've got something, when you're out in the woods and you've got something that's throwing rocks at you, you know, but you can't exactly tell where the rock came from. The only thing you can see is the rock hitting the tree. Or in my case, happened to have a stick that was probably about 3 feet long, and I would say if you did the circumference of it, probably 2 inches. I happened to look around, and I had my back toward this one side of a hill where I was doing some research, and this was way far away from where I first had my encounters, where I called one of my hot spots. This was in another county. And I was probably 4, maybe 5 miles in the bush. But I was on a trail, and I'm setting up my camera to just, you know, start doing some filming and stuff because I saw a tree structure that I liked. When all of a sudden I hear, like, if you ever saw birds coming out of the top of a tree and they hit some leaves or something like that, you know, I turned, you know, I didn't know if it was a squirrel or a bird or whatever, but it caught my attention. So I turned around just in time to see this 3-foot stick turning end over end over the top of the trees and land about 10 feet from me. And just hearing movement coming from that part of the woods.
Yeah, we've had incidents like that
which
here.
Which sounded like heavy footfalls. But
we've had incidents. Huh? And here's the thing I'll explain to you, and you and I have talked, I don't know if I've mentioned this before to you or not, but we were out, and this was in the daytime, and we could hear things being thrown in our area. So, you know, we stopped. It's a little area where big campers go, and they, I guess, empty their sewage or, you know, fill their water tanks or whatever. So we're there, and we hear another, only thing I could say is maybe a stick being thrown. You know, it hits the leaves, and it makes the sound. And so we look over there towards where the sound came from, but out of the corner of my eye, I caught movement, and about maybe 50 yards down in the other direction, I saw something run, and when I say run, I mean like one step in the middle of the path and then gone. That's how fast it was. And it was,
wow.
It was on two legs, it was big, and it was, you know, a lot of people say black and cinnamon color. I don't describe it as that. I describe it as the color of dead pine needles.
Right.
Almost like a rusty brown type color. And
right.
That got me to thinking, and you know, I had my children there with me, and even they were like, what was that? But that got me to thinking, these things, you know, and I've done this in future, you know, when I go out there. If I hear a sound and suspect something of being thrown, I won't look directly at where that sound came from. I'll look in other areas because, to me, it's like they want you to look there so they can haul ass the other way.
Right.
That's the
right,
impression
exactly.
That I got,
I mean,
that day.
Whatever they can do to distract you so they can make their clean getaway.
Exactly.
But just to get back real quick, I mean, to make a real, real long story short, the packages of food that I had taken out to what I called my feeding area, it's a place where I'd been doing some tree knocks and stuff, and I'd been getting quite a bit of action. And so whatever was out there had an idea, you know, as to who it was and when I was around. Well, I know that it wasn't a wild animal that was taking the food, because on the box of hamburgers, you have those perforated sides where you have to kind of pull up on the front, and then the sides kind of separate from the box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, an animal's not going to do that. An animal's just going to rip right into the box. This, and we don't have homeless people, you know, that are on top of a mountain or living down by the stream, because we got cops that patrol the bottom of the mountain, and, you know, they kind of frown on that down there. So I come out the first day, and nothing had happened. I mean, I had even, you know, put little sticks around and stuff like that, you know, to make sure, you know, if anything was there, maybe it would move the sticks, you know. Nothing had been moved. Well, I come out 2 days later, because I just left it alone. Come out 2 days later, the package of hamburgers had been opened, as if some
right.
human with fingers had just separated the perforated edges on the side, lifted up the box, and one little piece, as if you took a piece of a hamburger with your fingers and just tore it off. That was the only thing that was taken, and the lid to the box was shut back down. Now, the hot dogs and the chicken, you know, weren't touched. I come back the next day, three hamburgers are gone, but the two papers that were separating all three hamburgers are still in the box, and they're pretty much right on top of each other. I come back the next day after that, two more hamburgers are gone, the papers are in there, and the hot dogs, there was one slit right down the middle, but it was kind of like a jagged slit, almost like something had torn into it, but not, you know, ripped into it, you know, not really cut with a knife because it was too jagged, but at the same time, almost like a nail or something like that had just kind of gone down through. And I would say probably 7 or 8 hot dogs were gone. Still, the chicken wasn't touched. That weekend, I had probably 2 more days, and I waited till like Sunday. So probably 3 days. But on Sunday, I went out. All the hamburgers were gone. Every single one of the papers were still in the box. Okay, no papers were on the ground or anything like that. Some of the sticks
weren't tore up or, you know. Because
nope.
I know if it's a wild animal, here's the thing. If it was a wild animal, if it was a coyote or a dog, they wouldn't just take the meat. They would grab it all in their mouth, paper and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The paper would be shredded up.
Sure. Plus, the box wouldn't be in the same place that it was, and it never moved. The box never moved. And every single time I came to check, the lid was always shut. Okay? Now, on this Sunday, not only are all the hamburgers gone, there's only 2 hot dogs left in the wrapper, in the case. Now, how many animals do you know of that can take a Ziploc baggie and unzip the bag? None that I know of.
Yeah.
Okay, it takes something with opposable thumbs to be able to do that.
That's the thing that I try to tell people. You know, I've told you this, Billy, the other night. We went out there and something took, to me it sounded like something took a large branch and hit it on something metal or iron.
Right.
And because it had that metallic resonation to the sound. And the only thing in that area, like I said, it's a gated off area of the wildlife refuge that no one's been, it's been gated off for at least the last 7 years since I've been here. And the only thing that's metal there is this big gate that's actually made out of like maybe 2 or 3 inch steel pipe welded together.
Right.
And that's the only thing that could have made that sound. And you know, my investigators who were around, they heard it too, and they were like, what the heck was that? And so we continue walking a little ways, and then from that same area behind us, you know, we continue walking, so it was behind us at this time. That's when the howl started, and it was also coupled with other howls that were coming from further distances in different locations throughout the wildlife refuge. So it's almost like it cracked something to get us away from there. And then once we got away, it decided to let any other Sasquatch or Bigfoot in the area know, hey, there's humans out here.
Right.
That's the impression that I got.
Well, the last day that I went out and checked everything, the package of chicken had been opened up on that Sunday, but a couple of days when I went out, it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. All the hamburgers were gone. The box was still there. There was a log, probably 6 foot long, and probably in circumference, I would say a good 10 inches around. Not too big, but not too small either, and pretty good weight to it. I'd say it was probably 50, 60 pounds. That was leaning on top of the box, but and over top of the hamburger or the hot dog thing. But and the hot dogs were gone, by the way. The chicken had been opened up, and three of the four pieces had been taken out. Now, I looked all around. Every single time I went out there, I looked all around that tree. I looked all around the area, you know, for any remnants, you know, chicken bones or skin or anything like that. Not even any footprints. Yet the sticks that I had put there, you know, on purpose, were constantly being moved around or being taken away, which I thought was really strange. You know, usually sticks, I mean, if you hear about Bigfoot, you know, making structures, they're bringing sticks, you know, to the area, not taking them away. You know, and I don't know of any other animal that would do that. But the last day that I came out was 2 days after that. That would be Friday, I believe, Thursday or Friday. And the hamburger box was there, the hot dog wrapper was there, but the Ziploc baggie was about, I would say, God, 60 to 70 feet down the trail leading toward the brook. And
yeah,
the last piece of chicken was gone, and the Ziploc baggie was on top of some ferns. And the only thing I can figure is it would be one of these creatures, because that was the same area that I'd be getting tree knocks from, you know, replies to my knocks. It was generally the same area where Debbie had heard that low moaning howl, which reminds me, I actually heard it myself about 3 weeks later. Debbie and I were hanging out on the porch, and this is about 11:30 at night. And from that same area, all of a sudden, everything went quiet, dead quiet, and we hear coyotes yipping, start yipping down by the creek. Well, all of a sudden, they stopped. Whatever they were doing, they stopped, and that same low moaning howl came from the other side of the creek.
Well, that's interesting, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I mean, I've talked to Bobo from Finding Bigfoot. I've talked to Cliff from Finding Bigfoot. And we all agree there is a correlation between coyotes and Sasquatch. What it is, we don't know. Either Sasquatch follow them or vice versa, or they work together. But there is a strong correlation between them.
I would say that the Bigfoot are following the coyotes, because the coyotes are looking for meat. They're looking for food at night, you know, and generally, they find what they're looking for. And, you know, if they're around and a Bigfoot's around, guess who's going to win the fight over that food? You know? So it kind of makes it easy for a Bigfoot to have, you know, to not have to go and search for food. All you got to do is follow the coyotes, and they're pretty much going to take you to the food.
Opportunistic.
You know? Exactly. Well, after I heard that howl, it was probably a good 45 seconds later, and I would say about a quarter of a mile down the creek, down the mountain, came the same low moaning howl, but it was further off. And probably 20 seconds after that, the coyotes, by now, they're not even yipping anymore. They're just full-blown howling, you know, and just going nuts. Well, I hear this once again from the same area, the same low moaning howl, but at the end of that, you hear what sounds like a coyote getting tore up and a bunch of growling. And then all of a sudden, everything just went dead silent.
Well, you know, it's interesting. 90% of the time that I've heard coyotes howling, I've also heard something else, either with it or at the end. Basically, the coyotes pretty much shut up when this thing howls. And I've tested this theory, and I've talked to Cliff Brockman about it. I went out there one night, and Cliff has said he's had the same results. I went out there one night, and I did a Sasquatch call, and all of a sudden, it was me and my son, and all of a sudden, we had a chorus of coyotes just start going off all around us, and I'm talking very close. And, you know, I spoke to Cliff about this. I said, why would they react that way? Unless they know that sound. Because, you know,
Exactly.
if you do a Sasquatch call and you do it correctly, like you did at the top of the show, it doesn't sound like a coyote. But yet,
Right. Well,
these animals...
when a coyote howls too, it doesn't go through you. You know,
that's
I
right.
mean, as if it's right there. Now, the weird thing with these creatures is they can be a quarter of a mile off, and to your ear, it'll sound like it's a quarter mile off, yet it'll just ring right through you.
Yeah, and you know, that's what gets me about these skeptics. You know, they sit here and they say, well, how can you believe in Bigfoot? I'm like, well, how can you not? I mean, all the evidence that has been throughout history that we have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then everything going on now. I mean, even Teddy Roosevelt wrote about a Sasquatch, you know, the president. If out of all that evidence, if just one of those reports were true, then Sasquatch is real.
Exactly, and especially, I mean, when you've got an American president, you know, usually, I mean, if these creatures, you know, do exist, and if the government knows about it, they're going to keep it hush-hush. So you're definitely not going to hear it from the president.
The early settlers were running into them all the time. Why? Because they were out there. They were traversing this territory to map out our nation. You know,
exactly.
They were out there a lot more than we are. I mean, they were out there 24/7 all the time.
And people that haven't been in this area before, you know, or in the area that they were in, why would they make up stories about these tall giants, hairy giants, people living in the woods, terrorizing or you know?
Right. I
can
see.
Why would they make that up?
Right, I can see stories being made up in this day and age because of the
mm-hmm.
popularity with television and, you know,
right.
the way society is now. But back
right.
then,
and I'm sure back then, and I'm sure back then they knew what bears were too. You know, that, hey,
yeah.
okay, that's a bear. Okay, now what's this?
they didn't have this the social media like what we have today in this day and age. So they had no reason to make this stuff up. I mean. Who are they going to get popular with? Their little group, you know. I mean, the civilization,
exactly.
you know. I mean, you know, the people that they lived with back then was a lot smaller than you know. They didn't have all this contact with the outside world. So, I mean, why would they make something up to get popular with maybe what 10 families?
Exactly.
You
I
know?
Mean, and think about it. Back then, you only talked about what everybody knew. Okay, if you talked about even a, let's just say, for instance, just for giggles, you know, squirrels, nobody had ever seen a squirrel before. You come back and you say, well, I saw this little creature scurrying up a tree, and it had a long furry tail on it, and, it, you know, it was eating nuts. Well, everybody just laugh at you, you know. But the way I see it, okay, these that's why I say these people had everything to lose and nothing to gain by lying. You know, so for
them to write
down in either their journals or to tell other people, hey, this is what we saw, and we saw footprints. We saw footprints that we'd never seen before.
Exactly. You can go even further back to the Viking Age. In fact, the story of Beowulf, not the movie version that we know now, but the original Viking story of Beowulf was about not just one, but a group of wild hairy men that the Vikings settled this area, and they came in at night, and there was a huge battle, huge fight, and these creatures just disappeared, you know, in the middle of the night. And the thing that was suspicious about it was they wouldn't come around unless there was a fog.
They
call them mist devils, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
also,
where
if you remember another person too, Leif Erikson.
That's right.
You know, wrote in his journals that he had saw, you know, these tall people covered in hair. You know, that he didn't know what to call them. He just called them, you know, tall
Here's
giant
something.
People with hair.
Here's something, and I did this, and I posted it on the Finding Bigfoot site. I posted it to Bobo and I posted it to Cliff. when you get the chance, look up the origins of trolls. You know, and read it, and in your mind, keep in mind what a Sasquatch is, what it looks like, and where it's found, and what it does, and you'll see a ton of similarities.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the trolls that we see now in these Harry Potter movies and now in Lord of the Rings and all that crap. I'm talking about the original stories of trolls that were always found near streams or waterways or rivers. And you will be surprised at the similarities, you know. And you know, I talked to Cliff about it, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, maybe this is where, maybe Bigfoot is the real source for the myth of trolls.
Right. Well, you know, getting back to what you were saying before about, you know, like in this day and age, let's face it, skeptics are going to say, well, we're not going to believe until we see a body. Well, for something that, suppose that when you said before, you know, that your friend had said, you know, well, how do you know Bigfoots exist? And you said, well, how do you know they don't? Well, I take the analogy of my people, the Native Americans.
And
for
that was
something
gonna be
that's
where, yeah, that's what we were going to get to.
Right. You know, for something that supposedly doesn't exist, it sure got a lot of names. And I think that's one of the biggest underrated statements in the Bigfoot world right now. You know, people are trying to look for all kinds of ways to prove it exists. Well, for something that don't exist, people all around the world are seeing something. I mean, I can tell you for sure, up here since 1979 in just upstate New York, okay, just upstate New York since 1979 to date, there have been over 4,000 sightings, Class A sightings.
Here's a little analogy.
4,000 people can't all be crazy.
That's right. Here's a little analogy for you. And this might put things into perspective a little bit. Okay. We have Sasquatch or Bigfoot here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to, say, the Himalayas or any other, you know, remote area, and you describe a Bigfoot, they're going to have something similar to that. They're going to know what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, keep this in mind. We have panthers here, right?
Right.
If you go over there to those same areas, they're not going to know what a panther is.
Exactly.
And we know that panthers
exactly.
exist. We have photos. We have all that. That's
mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm making that to where everyone can understand what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, an animal that we know exists, a panther.
Mm-hmm.
If you go over there and try to tell them about a panther, they might be able to compare it to a tiger or a lion, depending on where you are.
But unless they see one up close, you know,
they're not going to know it. They're not going to know what a panther is. They're not going to know the difference between a panther and a tiger because they're not familiar with that. But if you go over there and you describe a Bigfoot to them and they say, oh, yes, we know what you're talking about, that right there says something to me.
Exactly. Well, see, it's just like that over here, only it's vice versa. People over here think that all we're seeing is a bear. Well, okay, bears and Bigfoots do have some similarities. Okay, bears do eat meat. They do eat berries. They do eat vegetation. Okay, a little less than they do the meat. But like with tree structures or tree breaks, okay, a bear will knock down a tree, or a bear will, you know, break a tree, you know, bring it down
the bear's weight will take the whole of the base of the tree down. It won't just snap it
off. Exactly. Well, you
got to
figure too. If you look at a lot of tree breaks too, you notice they've been twisted at the same time. Now,
that's
it
right.
takes something with opposable thumbs to do that. A bear has paws, okay? And it can push, and it can grab onto and hold on, but it can't twist. It can't,
well,
you know.
Don't get us wrong, listeners. We're not saying that every Sasquatch report is real.
Exactly.
You know, we're not saying that at all. We're not saying that some of them have are lies or fakes. We know that. We know that some of them are even
sensationalized. What? You mean there are fakes out there?
Oh, of course, man. I can name names, but
I will. No. No, I
but,
won't.
You know, I have no doubts that many of the Sasquatch reports are sensationalized. Someone may have seen a bear and said, oh, I'm going to church it up a little bit and make it,
mm-hmm.
instead of a bear, a Sasquatch. And
sure,
it still
everybody loves
becomes,
a great story.
Yeah, it still becomes believable because they did actually see something that put fear in them. You know, even
mm-hmm.
though they know it wasn't a Bigfoot, it's still it's kind of like the old analogy. The best way to tell a lie is to add truth in with it.
Exactly,
you
or
know?
To stretch
so
the truth.
Right, exactly, and it's kind of, you know, I have no doubt that a lot of these reports, and you can usually tell. I mean, if you go and, you know, if you go to certain sites, I'm not going to name names because I don't really associate with these sites any longer. But if you go to certain sites and you read some of these Bigfoot reports, you can usually tell who's blowing smoke up your ass and who's had a legitimate, you know, sighting.
Right, exactly.
Now, what I want to get into,
you know,
is what you touched on a while ago, Billy. And guys, you guys listening, call in, please. We want to hear your stories. I mean, this is Billy is doing this with me. We're both hosting this show, and we're here for you guys to call in and talk, you know, Sasquatch with us, questions, if you had any encounters or any stories, call in. I mean, share it. If it gets all of us one step closer to understanding why these creatures do what they do, then
right.
why not share that information with your peers? You know, so please
also,
call in.
Also, if you're in the chat room right now, if you do have a question or if you want to tell your encounters, you know, please, that's what we're here for. You
yeah,
know,
right.
Don't let us do all the work, you know.
Yeah, if you don't want to be on the air, you know, the chat room's there.
I can tell you now, Jason Morse is in the chat room right now, but he's saying he can't hear the broadcast.
Yeah, I took care of that with him. I actually,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually took care of that with him. He's actually in the queue, and I'm wanting to get Jason on the air too. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit about, you are Native American, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, if you will, Billy, I mean, I've got a little bit of Native American in me, Creek Indian, but if you will, share with us, if you can, some of the stories that you have heard regarding Sasquatch through your heritage.
Well, I don't know too many Native American stories, mainly because I didn't grow up around the reservation or anything. My mother at one time, you know, had grown up on the reservation, on the Seneca Reservation in Salmeca, New York.
Right.
That, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying before, you know, the name Sasquatch, okay, it's thrown around so much that what nation of Indian that word comes from, I don't know. From what I've heard, it's from one of the nations in the Pacific Northwest. But we've got so
actually,
many names for it.
I believe it's from Canada.
That very
I believe,
well could be
I believe it's from
the,
a, I believe
the Northwest
it's from a tribe.
Of Canada.
Right, right.
Right. But we do have a lot of names for them. The Seneca name for Bigfoot would be Ginosqua, okay, which means stone giant, okay. And it's kind of strange, too, when you think of the meanings of the names for these creatures, you know, some of them mean wood devil, some of them mean tall hairy man, you know, stone giant like Ginosqua, you know, different names, stone people, you know.
Okay, I'm reading now. The term Sasquatch is an anglicized derivative of Halcomelum word Sasquets.
Yep.
S-A-S-Q apostrophe E-T-S.
And does it give the definition of that name?
No, not that I can see. I'm actually over on Wikipedia.
But you know, one of the tribes of the Pacific Northwest called the Oma. I know there's two different nations of Seminole. One's in Florida, one's in Oklahoma. The ones in Oklahoma actually have two names for it. One is called Stachepko. And he's the one that you usually see at night. He plays a lot of pranks, comes rummaging through your dumpster, or, you know, comes slapping at your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's another one called Ihoza, which means to forget. This creature, when you see him or her, it makes you forget what you saw, okay, to the point where you can't really describe what you saw or really what you were thinking at the time. It makes you forget. And this one you usually see in the wee early mornings hours, between usually, I would say, 1 o'clock in the morning to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
To the Seminole.
Right.
I
mean,
as far as
this guy's,
go ahead.
I'll go ahead and, I mean, if you can, I mean, just type in Bigfoot or Sasquatch and go to the Wikipedia page. A lot of interesting information there about the origins. There's a couple of names in here that I know of. One that I know of that isn't in here is Sietko. That's another name for Bigfoot. And I learned that from a book that I read. I can't remember Frank. I don't know his last name, but the book, name of the book is called Monsters. And it's a very, very, very good book. He gives a very good, I guess, description of what a Sasquatch would be doing.
Right.
Pick it up, guys. I can't remember the name of the author. I can find out and post it on the web page. But yeah, I mean, Jason, I'd love to get Jason on here.
Jason, if you're listening and if you're around, give us a call. And just in case anybody has seen the advertisement that we posted on Facebook, but maybe you don't know the number to call in is 323-580-5703. That's 323-580-5703.
Right, and you guys definitely call in. We want to, you know, we want to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's a online radio show, but, you know, to me, it's not much different than, you know, sitting around a campfire, you know, shooting the shit and telling each other, you know, our stories. But we got Jason on the line. I'll go ahead and bring him on the air with us.
Okay.
Hey, Jason.
Hey,
hey man, how's it going?
Not bad. What's up, Ray?
How's it going, brother?
All right, man.
So what's been going on up in New Hampshire, brother?
Well, I'll tell you what, lately, not much of anything. It's been pretty dry. I haven't heard a branch break in, 6 months.
Wow. Yeah, just to let everybody know out there, I would imagine there's not too many people out there who don't know who Jason Morse is. Jason Morse is a member of the Crypto Crew that's headed up and founded by Thomas Markham. And he's also, Jason is also a member of the Renegade Bigfoot Society. And he's an administrator in my group. And we're just tickled to have you, brother.
Yeah, glad to be here, man.
Jason,
so,
what can you tell us your perspective a little bit about Sasquatch and Bigfoot?
Well, there's not a whole lot that I can say that you guys didn't touch on. I can't think of anything that you guys said that I didn't realize, and you covered an awful lot of bases when I finally got so that I could here on the show instead of just being in the chat room.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. Guys, if anyone else is, well, I guess if you can't hear the show, then you can't hear me asking you to call in and tell me you can't hear the show. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, anyway.
Well,
if you're in a chat
room. Jason? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Well, Jason, you and I have talked extensively before, and you have one, or, well, at least you had one. I still believe that you have one up there, a pretty big boy that you named Goliath. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, I kind of lovingly refer to him as Goliath. I prefer that they give, I guess the best way to put it in my mind is they deserve too much respect to be actually called by an English name. But
okay.
I call him Goliath just because he's, even as a Sasquatch goes, he's about 9'6".
Wow.
One time when I saw him, he walked away from me, and he just brushed a tree branch. And when I gave up trying to follow him, I measured from the ground to the tree branch, and it was about 9'4". So I'm guessing right around the 9'6", 9'8" area.
Can you tell me that was the first time that you had actually saw him?
Yeah, that was the very first time back in March of 2010.
And were you able to develop any kind of relationship with him? How many times did he appear?
Well, that one time I saw him, I was walking my dog, and the dog saw him first when I saw him, and it was very quick. It was only, altogether, it was 10 seconds. He must not have liked the dog staring at him, so he just stood up, took a couple steps away from me, and did exactly what you see in the Patterson Gimlin footage, right from the waist up. Completely turned around as he was walking the opposite direction. Took a glance at me to make sure I wasn't following, and just kept on going. And then in 5 steps, he was out of sight. It was real thick brush. I heard him stomping for another 10 seconds, and then I couldn't even hear anything.
Wow. And what was going through your mind at that time?
I'm sorry?
What was going through your mind at that time? While all this is going on.
Well, imagine I've been interested in the subject for a long time. I've been doing a lot of armchair research for a long, long time. I've been doing field research now for a few years. But when I saw him stand up from a crouching position, take a couple steps away, turn around and look at me, and then keep on trucking. The only way I could describe it is imagine every single emotion that you have all rolled up into one instance that lasts about 2 minutes, all the way from excitement, fear, confusion, and every single emotion that's possible I had at the moment. It was the most intense feeling, and from that second on, I was hooked.
Right. Wow.
And there was no sense of... I've heard stories, and I've watched videos and where these people claim that something... that they could actually hear a voice or whatever in their mind saying, don't worry, everything will be okay. You didn't have any of this going on, right? I've never had that in my experiences.
No, I guess the closest thing, if I'm understanding you correctly, is you're referring to mind speak. I've never encountered that. I'm not going to say, I'm not the type of person to say it doesn't exist just because I haven't encountered it. If it does exist, I will say that I am not fortunate enough to have encountered it yet.
Exactly.
But I'm not gonna really give my opinion on something I'm not sure of. Basically.
That's right, and you know, it's funny because we were talking earlier about these skeptics, and I think my biggest thing is, you know, these people, and Billy, you had said something earlier about people saying, oh, well, you know, they don't exist or whatever, I don't think they exist, and my thing is, how often are you, I ask these people straight up, I'll say, do you ever go out into the woods in the middle of the night? No. Well, then, how do you know? You know, what are you
right.
basing that on? You're sitting at home in your bed or on your couch. You're not out there. You don't have these experiences. You don't see this stuff. You don't hear. So how do you know?
Exactly.
You know,
or they may hear the same thing, but they try to explain it away.
Yeah, and to me, what it boils down to is just arrogance. Humans are arrogant as hell. And,
exactly.
and the fact that we believe that we are the be-all and end-all that there is.
Right. Well, we as human beings, we tend, like you said, you know, we're arrogant, and we tend to think we know it all when we really, in the scheme of things, don't know anything.
Oh, that's right. And you know, and this is of course, for another show further down the line. But you can also think in the terms of extraterrestrial life as well. It's the same thing. Now, there are those that say that Bigfoot is extraterrestrial or something, whatever. You know, I don't buy all that
right.
crap. You know, that's like you've got a stew that you're making, and you're making chicken stew, and you decide to throw beef and everything else in the pot at the same time. No, I don't go for that.
Well, the way I see it too, I mean, we have a hard enough time as Bigfoot researchers, you know, or, you know, as Bigfoot believers in general. You know, the Bigfoot world, we're already called nuts, you know, and totally loony and insane by the non-believers. Then to throw, okay, well, Bigfoot is an extraterrestrial into the mix. I mean, that just, you know, it's hard enough to try to make believers out of people who aren't believers without, you know, throwing the totally
right,
insane
right,
in there
right.
too.
I mean, you know, I don't know about you guys, but me, I feel like I've reached a certain age where I don't care if people think I'm crazy. I'll agree with them. Yeah, you're right. I am crazy.
I hear that.
You know? But, you know, I know what I know, and I know what I've seen in my life, and I'm not going to sit here. You have to be true to yourself. You know, if you've heard something that you believe is a Sasquatch, or you've actually seen a Sasquatch, like some of us have, you have to be true to yourself. I'm not going to sit here and lie to someone just to cater to their insecurities
exactly.
about what I've seen. You know, if I've seen
exactly.
it, then
you
I've
know,
seen it.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you're going to, I mean, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. You know, you got to be your own person. I mean, and sooner or later, I mean, if you're a Bigfooter, I think a whole lot of us, even I did when I first came on Facebook, you know, I kind of tried to hide it from, you know, my friends and my family, even though I was a part of another Bigfoot group at the time. I tried to hide it from a lot of people because I knew I was going to get ridiculed. But you know what? Sooner or later, you come to a point, not even, you know, how old you are or anything, you just come to a point in your life where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of trying to appease everybody else, to the point where you're just like, you know what, screw it. I don't care whether you believe me. I know what I saw. I'm not crazy, you know, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it.
Well, I mean, we don't
go
around.
You know, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything in society, even religion. You know, we don't go around telling people what to believe in and what not to believe in, and other people shouldn't do it as well. You know,
exactly.
I look at like if you believing in this helps you to be a better person and get through your daily life on a positive note or positive level, then by all means, believe away. Who am I to tell you not to?
Right. Exactly. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that's a good philosophy to have. I was pretty much the same way as Billy prior to my first sighting. I was super interested. I sucked in every TV show and every piece of literature I could find on the subject.
Every YouTube video.
when I first contacted Tom and told him about this sighting. At first, I was like, well, just withhold my name because I just, you know, I live in a really small town and I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook and I don't want that kind of attention. And I knew it would be a majority of negative attention, just like you guys have said. And I just made them interested.
Right.
And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? Although I like most of the people that I live in this town with, I'm friends with an awful lot of them, I really thought about it, and I was like, you know, I don't give a rat's ass if they think I'm crazy. I know what I saw.
Yeah, and that's exactly. Pretty much how
The way I look at it now, man, it's like, if you're not getting called crazy at least two or three times a week, you're not doing your job well enough.
Yep. Exactly.
That's pretty much it. Jason,
you know, and the way I see it, too, is if you're going to be a Bigfooter, be a Bigfooter. You know, just don't be a closet Bigfooter, because if you're afraid, because sooner or later, let's face it, if you're into Bigfoot and if you're a Bigfooter and you want to be a researcher, sooner or later, it doesn't matter. It's like rodeo. It's not if you get hurt. It's only a matter of when and how bad, okay? But I digress. If you're going to be a Bigfooter,
we're going to talk about that shortly too, because you and I talked about it private before. You know, going out by yourself, and we're going to talk about that also here a little bit later in the show. But yeah, okay. I understand exactly what you're saying, Jason. I appreciate you coming on, man. I got a feeling that we're going to continue this next week too. The way things are going, we have another caller in the queue that we have to get. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your time with
us. Amen, brother. Amen, man.
And you keep in touch.
No problem. Anybody out there who wants to read in detail of any of my sightings, just go to thecryptocrew.com.
There you go.
There's thousands of reports from everybody.
Yeah, I've actually followed you guys. I've actually followed you guys for years, and it was Billy who told me that you were a part of that. And I'm like, no kidding, man. I'm like, I've been following these guys for years, and you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great, I'm honored to be with them. It's a great group of people, just like I am the Renegades, man. I couldn't ask for a better group of people. They're honest, they're true, and they're highly, highly intelligent and just really
well, I'll
good
tell you
on the
what,
field.
I'm glad you came on the air with us, and I'm glad to have you over on Onyx Knights Paranormal Facebook page as well. I look forward to future interaction with you and making some things happen, if you know what I'm saying.
And one more thing, just before you get off, if I may, Brian.
Yeah.
The Crypto Crew, Jason, what is the name of the Paranormal Awards?
That's just what they call it. It's the 2014 Paranormal Awards being held in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay. Jason, go ahead, Jason.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say, Jason Morse, Tom Markham, and the rest of the Crypto Crew, they're up for 5 awards this year. Last year it was, I believe, 3. This year they're up for 5. So, you know, give them your support, you know. They're doing a bang-up job, and they're working their butts off. They're doing, you know, what a lot of people that Brian and I call armchair researchers, they're actually going out there and getting their hands dirty.
Right,
you know?
Right. And, Jason, we're definitely going to schedule you to be a guest on a future episode, because I know you guys do more than just Sasquatch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some other subjects that Billy and I are going to be working on that we're going to definitely have you on the air to discuss.
All right, sounds good, Brian.
All right, thanks.
And have a good one.
All right, thanks again. Take
you
care.
You too, brother. Thanks for coming on.
See you, brother.
All right.
All right, we have another caller. We're going to go ahead and take it this time. Hello, caller,
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller.
I hear a little bit of something, but I don't know if they can hear us or not. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Well, that was interesting. You know, let's get onto the subject. Let's get on the subject of what you and I were.
I think we're doing ghosts next week, right?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I get you. Maybe that's, yeah. That was a good one. I got to give that one to you. okay.
But if I may, would it be all right if I gave a little shout-out to my administrators in my group?
No, go ahead, man.
As I said, I'm the founder and senior administrator of the Renegade Bigfoot Society. Anybody that's looking for a great home group, that you're a Bigfooter, you're looking to be a researcher, or if you're a researcher that's looking, you know, for a really great home, a lot of people that care, that they're no nonsense, they're knowledgeable, they've gotten their hands dirty, they know what they're doing. They don't post other people's YouTube videos, they post their own. If you want a great group of people to be involved with, you know, I strongly suggest that you join. But I'd love to say right now a big shout out to all my administrators that I handpicked. I couldn't have picked a better group of people if you'd handed me a whole list of big names. First and foremost, I would have to say my two right arms. You know, these guys, Jason Morris, we just had on the phone with us. Another one, Greg Champy. I mean, I can't say enough about Greg. He's the one that does all our graphics, does our logo.
Yeah, Greg's a good guy. I was fortunate enough to have a phone conversation with him this week. And Greg will definitely be on the show. I have every intention of bringing Greg on.
Wow, cool.
As you know, maybe a guest host, like if you have something to do or vice versa. But definitely as a guest. Yeah, I definitely have every intention of getting Greg on in the future. In fact, I'm thinking about carrying this over into next week.
Okay.
And continue this and plugging the hell out of it and getting some callers. We still have that one caller on. Let me try him again.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
You might have to speak up a little bit.
Hello? Okay, guys, I apologize for that. For some reason, the caller, I can't hear him. I don't know if he can hear us or not. Caller, if you can hear us, try to call back in.
Also, if I could, Jason and Greg, they're also senior administrators, not just administrators. I would also like to say hi to Tom Markham, the leader and the founder of the Crypto Crew. He's also an administrator. Debbie Mills, she's been with the group pretty much ever since it started. And also a big shout-out to Ryan and Jeremy Sanborn, two administrators of mine. They were my first two friends in the Bigfoot world. And,
right on.
I just love them like brothers. So, but I want to thank you for allowing me just, you know, give a little plug to the Renegades and, you know, say hi to my, you know, the people that actually run the place.
You know, Billy, I would love to, in the future, try to get up, either up there where you are or vice versa, you get you down here.
Amen.
I don't know if you saw or someone else saw, but I invited one of my Onyx Knights paranormal investigators over to Renegade Bigfoot Society.
Okay.
Her name was Melissa. I don't know who approves any of that, but, you know, that's...
Well, I mean, it's usually done by the administrators of the group, but, you know, in this case, doesn't matter. That's cool.
Right. Because I didn't know if it was a by invite only, or if I was allowed to invite someone into it too. So I just kind of took a chance and said, well, I'm going to invite and see, you know.
Right.
But
right.
We got that same caller calling back in. Let's try to get them now.
Hello? Caller?
Hello? Hello, caller?
Don't be bashful.
Oh, they hung up.
Okay.
It may just be someone who is trying to listen to the show through, you know, you can call in and
right.
You don't have to talk to the host, you can just listen to the show. In fact, that's how Jason is able to listen to us right now, through his telephone.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they don't want to actually come on the air and speak. But guys, look, you know, if you have been out in the woods, whether it's daytime or whether it's nighttime, and you've had any kind of experience or anything, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be where you know it was a Sasquatch. If you've had anything happen that you're not quite sure of, share it with us, and you know, together we'll try to help get to the bottom
exactly.
of it and see if
you
it
know,
might possibly, if it might be a Sasquatch.
Exactly. You know, something that, you know, possibly you keep trying to explain it away, yet it won't leave your mind, but yet you're afraid to talk about it because you don't want people to feel like make you feel like you're crazy. Guess what? That's what we're here for. Call in, tell us your story. Guess what? We're ready to believe you.
That's right. And
nobody's
going to
get
is...
laughed at here. Nobody's going to get ridiculed here. You know, we're
yeah,
all in the same boat.
This is totally anonymous. No, we don't even know where you are or where you're calling from. So, you know, the main thing is we have to get this out there. We have to get this information out there. I feel, and Billy, I don't know if you feel the same, but I feel that we are right on the verge of...
Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say.
And I don't mean we as in me and you. I mean we as you know, all the researchers...
Bigfoot world, yeah.
Yeah, we are. I feel like we're on the verge of once and for all, definitively proving that this is
shutting the non-believers up.
That's right. That's right. I believe it's just a matter of time. I mean, there's so much going on. There's DNA evidence from here where I live in Mississippi that is in the process of very close to being revealed. I know Dr. Melba Ketchum. She was doing a little bit of DNA work. I don't know what ever happened to that. Supposedly she found out that there was human in it, but there was supposed to be more, and they're being kind of, to me, they're being a little bit too sketchy about revealing their findings.
If I'm not mistaken, it came back as 65% human, but 65% human and 35%, something like that, primate. Okay, and this is out in, I believe, the Sierra Mountains. Now there are no monkeys, chimps, gorillas,
that's right,
orangutans, you know, roaming around out in, you know, the Pacific Northwest, out in Columbia, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, you know, Colorado. You know, there are no primates out there, you know. And if there were, I'm sure a zoo would have had it on TV by now, okay, escape gorilla or escape chimp.
Right.
You know,
right.
But
well, if I remember correctly, I believe, and I might have it backwards, but I believe that the mitochondrial DNA showed that it was that at one point in time it was a human female, but this is not this one particular Bigfoot. This is like the origins of them. That the original male, the original father, was something completely different. So they're trying to say that something may have interbred with a human. I have a different take on that. I think that humans derived from the Sasquatch, not the other way around.
I think that's kind of where we differ a little bit. I think pretty much they're their own species. Because a lot of these people that believe in the theory of evolution, evolution teaches that when one organism changes into another organism, that original organism no longer exists, okay? And if that's true, and if man evolved from these creatures, then why are there still these creatures?
Well, if man evolved
just like a lot of people say that man evolved from apes, if that's true, then why are there still apes? Their
that's
species
right.
would be dead.
That's right.
They would be
you
gone.
Know, that's my point on evolution. You don't go to the zoo. If evolution were 100% true, you would go to the zoo and you would see an ape somewhere in the process of being a human.
Now, on the other hand,
it's not just ape and human. They have to go from ape to a human. There has to be an in-between there. And we're not finding that in-between.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, too. I mean, now, if you're asking, you know, could Bigfoot be a cousin or in the human family, possibly? Or, you know, you got to figure, a zebra, it's not a horse, and it doesn't derive from a horse, okay, but it's in the horse family.
Well,
it's totally its own species, but you know it's like a cousin to the horse. Maybe, possibly. I mean, that's just you know throwing something out on the table there. You know, quite possibly that Bigfoot has coexisted with humans.
I'm
going to
put
along.
This out there. I'm going to put this out there, and I don't like I said earlier. I don't think Sasquatch is extraterrestrial. I do believe in extraterrestrials. I do believe that extraterrestrials have visited Earth throughout history. I mean, there's, you know, that evidence. That's another show, but that evidence is out there all over.
Right.
I believe that the Sasquatch were the original inhabitants, and we were taken from their DNA and created.
Well, that is a pretty interesting way of looking at it, you know, and that's definitely... It's definitely worth looking into.
If
you know?
the oldest written text, it comes from Sumeria. It talks about the Anunnaki, who came down. It basically gives the origin story. The Anunnaki is an extraterrestrial race. They came down. Because they needed gold. Supposedly, their atmosphere was dying and they had to lace it with gold. So they didn't want to do the work for themselves, so they created a race, a slave race, to do the work for them. Now, if you actually have studied, if you studied history, Egyptian history, all these ancient cultures, you'll start to see that there's a little... It kind of rings true based on the importance of gold with the Mayans, with the Egyptians. So the question really remains, I mean, I believe what I believe, but there's also the question of which race was the slave race? Were the Sasquatch the slave race, or were we the slave race? I tend to lean towards we were the slave race that was created and just left to see how we advance. And I feel that that's why, and again, this is a total other show, but I feel that's why there's so many UFO reports, and I really feel like we're being monitored, and the government knows all this, and they're interacting with them and getting technology. And so many times throughout history, these other races have come in, stepped in, to advance the human race, whether it be with technology or knowledge or something along those lines, and I mean you can see all this through history, you know, and that's what I believe. I believe it's either one or the other. And I'm really leaning towards we were created from Sasquatch DNA mixed with extraterrestrial DNA. As opposed to Sasquatches being created from us.
Right. You know, that actually might be a good incentive to have callers call in and get their aspect of it, you know, get their opinion of it.
And we've got to call
what they think that these creatures would be.
Right. We've got a caller in the queue right now, and I'm going to go ahead and try to get them on the air.
Sure.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's Greg Moorhead. I'm a friend of Billy's.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's going on, Greg? Not a lot. I was trying to get through. Finally made it. I've been listening in. I don't disagree with anything that's been said so far, you know, in that it's all theory and our ideas and so forth. But this past weekend I had a chance to visit with Dr. Robert Baugh, who is he's an archaeologist, a paleontologist, and he is over at the Creation Museum in Glen Rose, Texas. Are y'all familiar?
I believe that I've heard the name before. I believe I've heard the name before, but I really couldn't, until you said it, I really hadn't put an occupation to the name.
What was the name again?
Dr. Robert Baugh. He's the director. He's the director of the Creation Museum at Glen Rose, where the dinosaur tracks are, Glen Rose, Texas. And he came at this from a totally Christian aspect. I mean, he's a total believer in Bigfoot, Sasquatch, total believer. But he came at it from the Book of Job. In the Book of Job, there was a group of people that were banned from the city, weren't allowed to be with the women and the children, so forth. I wish I had my Bible close by. I'd read it to you, but it was just really interesting hearing this man.
Are you referring to the verses in the Bible that describe the race of hairy beings that lives outside of society?
Yes, in the caves. Yes, in the caves. And so,
I mean,
he truly believes they exist, and he truly believes that this is that this group is evolved from you know, those same people. And he said, in many ways, they are superior to us. And in many ways, they're not. But, I mean, he even goes on, you know, any sighting that people will call him in regard to, he'll go investigate. It just kind of blew my mind, you know.
Well, here's something I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but it is theorized that Goliath, in the Bible, David and Goliath, Goliath was a Sasquatch that was basically captured and trained.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
And that kind of gives a whole new spin on that David and Goliath story. It kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Right. So, anyway, y'all just happened to be, I knew a little bit about what y'all were talking about, you know, when I was sitting and listening. So I just thought, you know, since I just had this, had a chance to meet this man that's so well-respected in the scientific world and so well respected in the Christian world, you know, he kind of brought the two together. But he totally...
I think that's really interesting. I didn't mean to cut you off, Greg.
No, you're fine.
I think that's, you know, so really not only profound but interesting as all heck, mainly because you have scientists that don't go with the Christian aspect, and you have scientists that don't go with the Bigfoot aspect. Now you have a Christian scientist or a Christian, believes in Bigfoot, and attempts to show the Christian, from the Bible, the Christian aspect of Bigfoot.
Right.
And he's got scientists listening to him.
You know?
I mean, it goes back to what Brian was saying before, you know, about these different cultures, like the Egyptians, you know, and what they were talking about as far as these beings go, you know, and as far as aliens and things like that. But it's just interesting to see that, like not just the Egyptians, but also the Christians and different cultures, you know, not just the Native Americans, not just the Europeans and the Asians, but different even religions. Okay.
Yeah.
They've all had their own experiences.
Well, you know, we got to keep in mind, and our listeners should keep in mind, you know, when we say Egypt and the Egyptians, a lot of people think the sand and the desert and all that. But if you actually do the research in ancient times,
there's a lot of mountains and woods. in Egypt.
Right. Egypt was a very, very fertile land. That's why. That's why the civilization took root as it did, because it was such a fertile land at one point in time.
Yep.
Right. Right. But if anybody wants to know that scripture, I'm not trying to push the Bible down anybody's throat. But if anybody wants to know that scripture,
that's fine. I know the Bible. I'm not particularly religious, but I don't fault anyone who is. And if it's knowledge, it's knowledge. You know.
But it comes from Job 30, and it starts in verse 6, where it talks about the people, you know, that we were talking about a while ago, that were cast from the city and made to live in caves and so forth. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous because it's my first time talking on the radio.
It's like I told Billy, don't think of yourself as being on the radio. Think of yourself as just being on the phone with us.
Well, right.
So, with about 3 million people listening in.
Exactly. Well, another interesting thing he had at that museum is he had a footprint that dated 3,200 years before Christ, and it looked just like a Bigfoot footprint. It was found in limestone, and he had it there. They dug it out of the limestone. Looked identical to the Bigfoot footprints that we find today. It measured 15 feet long, and it was about 15 inches long, and it was about
eight inches wide.
And he also talked about he was recently in Papua New Guinea, and he was helping some of the missionaries give shots there, you know, just various types of shots that people were needing. And he said a girl came walking out of the jungle, and she was 10 foot four. And she was 21 years old, and she was 10 foot four. And he had a mark on the wall inside that museum that showed what 10 foot four would be, you know, so you could look up and see. And
somebody my size would put a crick in my neck.
Yeah, you look up at that mark and you're like, oh my God, 10 foot four. And he just recently saw this girl. So I mean, you know. Not that she has anything to do with Sasquatch, but that just was kind of mind blowing too, you know.
Got a question for you, Greg. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
You being from Texas, and there seems to be a lot of sightings down in Texas, because Arkansas, that's not too far away from Texas, is it?
No, and like I do go to
Falk, Arkansas, and, you know,
right.
Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yes.
Have you had any experiences yourself with these creatures?
Yes. I've been to the area where they film Legend of Boggy Creek. As a matter of fact, in April I'm going to get to meet Fred Crabtree, who was one of the leading people in that movie. I'm going there for his 87th birthday. But anyway, yes, I've had a couple of cool experiences. I've never actually seen anything, but I've heard those.
If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Crabtree was the little boy in that movie, right? The kid that played was supposed to be him.
Well, that was actually his son that was in the boat that went down the bayou. It was actually him that was in the welder's cap, if you remember, the man. And he showed him hunting, and he said, I can't kill that thing. It might turn out that he said it's a man.
Yeah.
That was Fred Crabtree. But
that was him that was sitting on the log smoking a cigarette.
Yes. So. Anyway, you know, it's interesting how that movie sparked so much interest. Like, I was 11 at the time, you know, and that's what got me going, you know. I grew up in McKinney, Texas, and in 1964, there was supposedly a Bigfoot sighting. A boy and a girl was parking on a road outside of town there, and a Bigfoot supposedly reached in the car and grabbed her. And then... But as far as my personal experience, the coolest thing that's happened to me so far is 2 months ago, I was in Southwest Texas, in Grimes County, and there was a lady there who had reported multiple sightings, saying that these Bigfoot were coming up in her yard and everything. So I was invited to go on an investigation there, and my cousin was with us, a female, and she gets the best responses from these Bigfoot. She does this kind of a mixture of a scream slash howl, and she was getting all these responses. So me and a buddy of mine, his name's Brad Bacon, we went into the woods where we were hearing these responses. And there, Texas has had really bad drought, so there's pine trees everywhere that are kind of rotten. They're still standing, but they're kind of rotten. So I got the idea I'd start pushing down some of these pine trees and see what reaction I could get. Well, about the time I pushed down the fifth pine tree, something broke a limb. I'm talking about a green, fresh limb. Snapped it. It sounded like something snapped a 2x4 and then pushed a tree toward me.
I've actually used that same tactic before and had good results with it, where you just go out there and start breaking, you know, some trees and crap.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but he got up so, or I say he, she, whichever, got up so close to me without me even realizing that it was there before the tree was pushed down toward me. But it was a really cool experience, really cool. So I don't want to take up too much of y'all here.
We appreciate you calling in. We have a couple more callers in queue. We got 15 minutes left.
Okay.
But we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this next week, man. So feel free to call. You know, to call back.
Okay,
yeah, man.
All right.
Hey, Greg.
All right. Well, thank you. Yes.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
In case you're looking for a good place to call home as far as Bigfoot goes, Renegade Bigfoot Society, buddy. We'd love to have you.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Y'all have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, Billy, we have another caller online. The number is kind of suspicious, so I'm going to go ahead and click over and just see what we get.
All right.
Hello, caller. Hold on. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Oh, my God. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I had actually had a Bigfoot sighting up in upstate New York.
Okay.
I was hiking. You know where Hunter, New York is?
Hunter?
Yes, Hunter. It's a source of Hunter Mountain.
Yep, I actually used to do some research up there.
I'll be darned. So, at first, me and my friend, we were hiking on the hill. And, we were going up the trail, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been up the trail since you're climbing the mountain.
Okay.
It's got, it's like markers, you know what I'm saying, like markers on trees?
Right.
Yeah, we have some of those here. They're kind of like diamond-shaped reflectors. I know that's what we have here.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm kind of new to the hiking game and stuff, but... me and him were actually going up the mountain. We'd stopped to have a snack, and I thought I was a bear, so of course I froze. I didn't want to, like, run or nothing like that. And this thing was huge. I mean, of course it stood up, and I know bears usually stand up. But then it was weird. You know how bears usually, they'll give out a warning sign when they're angry?
Right.
Well, he actually stood up, leaned over, kind of hunched over, and then it honestly did not walk like a bear. Because you know how
was
bears...
Was it looking at you guys at the time, or...
Well, I honestly couldn't tell. It was a ways away. I'd say it was probably about 50 yards away.
Right, right.
But
I know there's a lot of trails that lead up.
that as you're going up the mountain from Palinville up to Hunter Mountain, I know there's a lot of pull-off spots where there are hiking trails. Would you be able to tell us whereabouts? Was it at the base of Hunter Mountain, like halfway up or up toward the top?
Honestly, it was about a quarter of the way up. I mean, that's where we took our first break.
Right near where the creek is, right?
Well, actually, it was a little past that. I know what you're talking about, though.
Caller, what is your name? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
George?
If I may interject real quick, there's some things that you said that kind of lead me away from the bear. First of all, you said it walked.
I've done some research as far as like bears.
Right.
They can't walk for too long.
I wouldn't even call what they do walking when they're on two legs. It's more like waddle. So it's very distinctive.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of confusing, but it's sometimes they, I guess you call it a waddle, I guess. I don't know if it's more like for dominance or anything like that, but...
Right. But this is not what you saw. I mean, from what you are explaining.
No.
At first,
my partner, he thought it was a bear, but when we both kind of looked really, really hard... It walked. It was hunched over, but it actually walked more like a human.
Right.
And it was just. It scared. Of course, it scared like the crap out of us and stuff. And it was a nasty experience.
Was there any sound or odor?
No odor. No sound. It didn't make any sounds at all. It was quiet, if anything. Of course, when he was walking through, I heard some twigs and stuff.
Right.
Snapping and stuff, of course, being on the ground and all.
Right.
But like I said, I mean, we probably caught it. We probably caught it for about maybe 5 seconds and then kind of hightailed out of there.
That's usually how it is.
Did it make any sound as it was leaving, like a grunt or,
or did
it just walk off?
Yeah, any vocal.
No, the only thing I heard was my friend. He screamed, of course, when we ran. That was it.
Okay, so you didn't hear any branches breaking, or
like I said, when he stood up and he started walking, that's when it kind of really shocked us.
Right.
Yeah, you heard the crunch, the crunching of the footfall.
Right. When he started to take a step, it was crinkling of the twigs and sticks and on the ground, and it was like, wow, holy crap, and just started running. I'm trying as hard as I can not to swear here because, we didn't say holy crap.
Right.
And how tall would you say this was? Can you describe how tall color it was?
From about 50 yards. I'd be giving you probably a guess between 6.5, 7. I don't know, maybe not 7. So I'd say about 6.5.
Okay. That's about the height of an adolescent, like a teenage. What would be the equivalent of a human teenager?
But, I have some theories on that, and I'm sure we can touch on that more in the next episode. I think, like humans, that there's all different heights regarding Sasquatch. I think the general norm is the tall, the 8, 9, 10 foot range that we usually associate with. But I think the same with humans. There's going to be stunts, in the growth of certain individuals.
Well, see, there's another aspect too that I've actually heard before from some pretty reliable researchers that say that when they're little toddlers, and then when they as they grow, they're all dependent on also what climate they're in. Their fur or their hair may change color.
That's true.
When they start out, they may be totally black. As they become a juvenile, which would be like a 10 to 12 year old kid, human kid, it might be like a really super dark brown, but not quite a black. And then the bigger it gets, the more brown it may get. But
well, I've heard the opposite. I've heard they're lighter color when they're young, and then it darkens. Right. But it also goes different for different individuals, because you know I've heard of white Sasquatch, I've heard of blonde, I've heard of red, black. Right. I also think that it varies. And Billy, feel free to chime in here. I also think that it varies depending on the location and the environment. For example,
exactly. like I was saying before, what we were talking about before, you know, the climate, the elevation, even with the vegetation that's around, you know,
right.
Your darker colors, I mean, colored Bigfoot, I mean, they would stay more in the shadows because they can blend in better, you know, with their surroundings, where a light colored could almost stand right out in the open, almost, and you wouldn't even see it, really, because it would blend in with a tree or it would blend in with, you know, something of a light color.
All right. Generally, they're going to be earth tones or the colors that you would associate with the forest. Not green, of course, but, you know, the browns and the grays and the blacks to help them camouflage. I mean, just like a human, you know, where we have our different hair tones and hair shades and hair colors, in my opinion, it's no different with a Sasquatch. In Florida, in the panhandle of Florida, the one I seen there was like the rust-colored dead pine needles is the best color I can associated with. And then I seen one here in Mississippi that was actually jet black. So, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that play into the color of them, from all the way from age to locations to pure genetics. I mean, just like a human, you know.
Exactly. Now, incidentally, speaking of Hunter Mountain, the trail that I usually did my research on, I actually have a picture on the Renegade Bigfoot Society page of something that's sitting. I had actually taken a picture of what I thought was a picture of. It was a rock wall, but there was a rock formation right on the end of the wall, and directly
on the other side
of that. Yes.
Billy, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're coming out a little bit muffled.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, anyway, sorry about that. On the other side of that rock wall, it goes down about 3 feet, okay, and then you hit level ground again. And what I had actually snapped a picture of, but I didn't know until the picture was not photoshopped but blown up a little bit, was something that's actually sitting on the other side of the rock wall up against a tree, and it's looking directly at me. And you can clearly see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, the outline of a head, which looked like a crest at the top. And I never even knew it until a friend of mine had blown up the picture and said, "Billy, do you know what you have here?" And if anybody goes on to the Renegade Bigfoot Society page, clicks onto the pictures, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, if you can, I apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I just got home here. I'm actually going to have to let you guys go.
Okay. Well,
okay.
We appreciate you calling
thank
in,
Thank you
George.
Very much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for listening to me.
All right.
All right, Billy,
We
got about 90 seconds left of tonight's show. Billy, what I'd like for you to do is if you can find that picture, tag me in it, and go ahead and post it on the Onyx Knights Paranormal page also.
You got it.
You know, you're admin over there, too, so I mean, you have all the, you know, freedom in the world to do that. But
sure.
We're going to continue this next week, and we're going to talk about the safety factors regarding going out there squatching. We're going to talk about you guys, and if you guys are interested in going out there squatching, what to do, what not to do.
I would also say if anybody is in the Renegade Bigfoot Society or in another page that may be listening in right now, but I will say about my group, anybody who lives in any area that one of my members lives in, please get a hold of them if you'd love to go squatching sometime. My people, I mean, they're chomping at the bit anytime.
Most definitely. And you can find Renegade Bigfoot Society on Facebook. You can also find Onyx Knights Paranormal on Facebook. Feel free to like us, request to add, whatever it is you have to do for that particular page. All right, well, we got about 5 seconds left. I want to thank you guys for stopping in. We're going to get off the air, and I hope everyone stays safe and has a good night. Billy, man, thank you. You were awesome. I appreciate you coming on board.
Anytime, brother. This is awesome. You know, and I was kind of nervous, but you know what? I love this. And I just
I appreciate you, you know, for... Well, it's no problem, man. You know, I told you it's not that big a deal. It's, you know, not as much to make you nervous as you may originally think.
Right. Well, I look forward to more of these with you.
Oh, most definitely, man. Most definitely.
I'm never afraid to learn anything new. So if there, you know, like obviously we'll be doing shows about the paranormal, about UFOs, aliens, ghosts. And what have you, you know, anything I don't know about, you know, please catch me up to speed and, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I try to vary it every week. This will be the first time that I've actually done two back-to-back episodes on the same topic or theme. But I love Sasquatch. I'm sorry. And I feel there's so much more to talk about. And that we can, you know, actually say to our listeners that we can't, even in a 2-hour episode, we can't nail it all. We can't discuss everything. So
right.
I want to continue this. I want to continue this next week and just carry it over and reconvene here, you and I. And, you know, you and I are going to talk during the week, of course, and we're going to come up with some really good things for you guys next week. And I appreciate you tuning in.
And actually, even when we go off the air, will the chat room still be open?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Well, the chat room's still open, so anybody who wants to leave comments and stuff, please feel free. You know, and obviously we're going to do this next week too, so if you have a story, please call in.
All right. Well, that'll do it for tonight. Thank you, guys, and be safe and have a good night. And we look forward to getting with you guys next week. If you're hesitant about calling in tonight, next week, please don't hesitate. It's much easier than you'd imagine. You know, it's just like calling and being on the phone with a couple of your friends. Thank you. You guys have a good evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
And thank you, Brian. You're awesome.